Professional Development Podcast with Don Gatewood. And today we're going to be talking about achieving success. That's right. Happy New Year, everyone. And I know that for many of us, this is a moment where we think about resetting. We begin to think about how we can make decisions differently so that we can accomplish goals and be successful. But here's the thing. Success means different things to different people, largely because we all have different goals. And while it might look like that some people have it easy or that they fall into success without much work at all, without much planning and preparation, that's a myth. Regardless of what it looks like, successful people are always determined, they plan, they strategize, and they're constantly overcoming obstacles because what? They are putting in the work. And if your goal is to be success, to be successful, then you, and if your goal is to achieve success, you absolutely have to put in the work to get the outcomes that you expect to achieve. Because dreaming and talking about success is one thing, but achieving it is another. And there are some serious questions I believe that you should be asking yourself. We all should be asking ourselves, because the answers to these questions will help you get one step or even five steps closer to the success that you are believing you want and deserve. Recently, I read a book called Power Shift by Damon John, and he talked about a lot of amazing things in this book. And I was really inspired by his message. And I was so inspired that this episode kind of speaks to many of the things that he talked about. So the first question that you want to ask yourself is, what do you want out of life? Now, this might seem like a really simple question, but it's actually one of the toughest questions to answer. Because when I've asked these questions with workshops that I've facilitated, what I found is that people, they fumble the answer or they're largely unclear. And I honestly think that people are afraid or fearful to really put out their true goals into the universe because they're afraid that they won't achieve them. And if they don't achieve them, they, you know, feel like they will be a failure. But actually, the failure comes when you don't identify or articulate what you want. Because you can never hit a target that you don't set, and you certainly can't hit a target that you don't see. So if you've ever felt unhappy or unfulfilled, it could actually have something to do with this question and the fact that it hasn't been answered. Because do you know what you're looking for? Do you know what you want? Because what you want is directly tied to your happiness, and it can't find you on its own. You have to go after it. You have to discover it. It's almost like, imagine walking on a sidewalk. The sidewalk has been pre-made and predetermined and pre-set as a space that you should walk down, walk up, and walk down. But what if you have to set your own trail? What if the path that has already been set, that someone else's, isn't for you? What if walking down that sidewalk can't get you to where you're trying to go? It's not going in the right direction. In that case, you have to create your own trail, step off the sidewalk, and find exactly the direction you need to take in order to achieve your goal. But when you're thinking about what you want, it's really easy to think about goals like, I want $1 million, or I want to be an executive in the C-suite. Now, of course, the C-suite is that top level in the office or the top area in the building where all of the president, CEOs, executives, VPs, the really important people, the C-suite is where they usually are housed. And these aren't necessarily bad goals. In fact, I think they're good goals to obtain, but definitely feel that we have to go deeper when we come up with these loftier goals because they're a little bit more general. So we need to dig deep and ask ourselves, why is this important to me? What do I plan to get out of this goal? For example, if your goal is to be an executive director or president or VP, why do you want that goal? Is it because you want to help a company achieve certain goals? Is it because you want to grow a company from where it is to where you believe it could be? Do you enjoy developing young talent? What exactly do you plan to do with this sort of position, and why do you want it? And I think understanding the why is essential to developing goals, because the goals need to matter and the goals need to be something that truly will reflect what you want. And understanding why you believe you want these things is really, really an essential step that I believe you should absolutely take. Now, when you talk about goals, though, we need to think about time. Time matters, because we can have a goal to lose 5 pounds, but is it to lose 5 pounds in the next month, or is it to lose 5 pounds in the next 3 years? So the timing of the goal absolutely matters. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years? Want to look at goal setting in the framework of time. And once we identify times that's reasonable to accomplish said goal, then we can work toward achieving not only the goal, but within the time frame that has been established. But we also need to make sure that we understand the tools that are necessary to achieve this goal. For example, there may be some education that you don't have that you need in order to achieve the goal. There may be some relationships that you need that you don't currently have in order, or you may need to develop a skill set, develop a certain leadership quality that you don't currently have to achieve the goal. So thinking about the tools you need is essential, but also thinking about the challenges that could arise from working toward achieving this goal. Because with every decision that we make, every goal that we decide we want to achieve, there are challenges that are looming in the background. What might these challenges be that may prevent you from achieving your goal, or slow you down, or get in the way? The more we think about these challenges in advance and come up with solutions to these challenges in advance, when and if they occur, we're ready, we're prepared, we're dialed in, and we're in a position to best handle these challenges so we can get them out the way and keep moving toward the goal. But with all of this, you want to make sure that you are writing your goals down. Because once you've done everything that we've said, you're ready to goal set. But you want to make sure that all of this stuff is being written down. Because first of all, it's difficult to remember all of your goals if you don't write them down. And it's also much more easy to not hold yourself accountable if it isn't written. The second question that I want you to consider as you're working toward achieving success is there any one thing, or anything for that matter, in your life that you'd like to change? Now, naturally, we are all programmed to identify things that we feel that other people need to change, or other people's weaknesses. But when we focus on what we believe other people can be and should be doing different, we miss out on an opportunity to focus on ourselves. Ultimately, we control ourselves. We don't control others. So we should be taking the time to focus on ourselves and what it is that we can do. Now, I do want to admit, though, I understand that when you're focusing on yourself and identifying things that maybe you like to do better or things that you like to change, it could be an embarrassment, because truthfully, identifying areas where you're not that good, or that could be, you know, a barrier, or, you know, an equality that's not becoming, that could be difficult. Self-esteem is real, and people sometimes have a hard time being open and honest with what they can be doing differently. Self-awareness is something that it's a skill that it grows over time with a lot of work. But the best thing we really can do, with all that being said, is to own and recognize our mistakes, our weaknesses, and our opportunities for improvement. Because I like to say, there really is no shame with having a weakness, and there should be no shame with identifying areas where you can improve. because truthfully, our habits and our behaviors are the things that actually could be standing in the way of achieving our goals. It's usually not other people. It's usually ourselves and our perspectives that really is standing in the way of us achieving our success. The next question I want you to think about is, what is actually stopping you from achieving your goal? What are the stories that you're telling yourself, and what are the reasons that you're coming up with not to achieve your goals? Oftentimes, we are identifying things that are happening, things that other people are doing as a reason why we are not achieving our goals. But instead of focusing on what you can't do, I want to encourage you to think about the things that you can do. What are the things that you can do? And you may need to really come up with a different approach toward achieving your goal. How you're looking at things and how you are working toward achieving your goals may not be working out for you. And you may need to come up with an entirely different strategy. But as you're thinking about one of those things or that may be stopping you, I'm wondering if motivation or the lack of desire or determination comes up. Are you motivated? Are you determined? Do you have the desire? Because truthfully, for many of us, it's that lack of motivation that is the true reason that's stopping us from achieving our goal. And if you're having problems with motivation, if you don't have the strong desire, then you will indeed continue to have a very difficult time achieving your goal. Because the thing about determination and desire is not external. It has nothing to do with what's happening on the outside. It has everything to do with what's happening on the inside and how you feel. It's a passion that comes from within. And I want to give you an example. Let's just say that you have a goal to be healthy, to lose weight. And in order to achieve that goal, you want to go to the gym 4 days a week. Imagine waking up 7 a.m. to go to the gym and you look out the window and realize that it's raining out. The thought that could come across your mind is, man, I can't go to the gym right now because it's raining and it's storming and I don't feel comfortable going to the gym because of the rain. So in that example, what's preventing you from achieving that goal of going to the gym is that external factor, the rain. But there are other options in this scenario. Could you possibly do the workout at home? Could you, instead of going to the gym, do 150 jumping jacks, do push-ups, squats, dips, all in your living room? So I would argue that what's stopping you from doing the workout is not the rain. Although we may tell ourselves it's the rain, it's not the thunder, but it's you. You're stopping you because there are other options to get that workout done beyond the gym. But determination is not something that comes overnight. Once you decide that you have a goal and once you truly are dedicated and determined, it may take a little bit of time for you to put together a plan to make it happen. And one of the reasons why it's really hard to achieve some of these goals that we feel are determined to, that we feel that we're determined to achieve, is because many times we have just too many goals. There are 24 hours in a day, so there's a limited amount of time. And some of us just have too many goals on our plate, and it's difficult to manage all of them. In some cases, it could be a matter of, reprioritizing goals, better determining how much time you spend on each goal, or it could just be that some goals need to be placed to the side so that the ones that matter the most can be more prioritized. Because it's really easy to get distracted, and once you fall behind, it could be difficult to catch back up. But you got to wake up every single day with your eye on the prize and tell yourself that I'm going to get this done. Even if I'm tired, I'm going to get this done. But another thing, though, is time frame. Sometimes we have unrealistic time frames that can really make our goal achievement so hard. I know we talked about the fitness journey earlier, so I'll keep with that theme. Imagine saying, I'm going to lose 25 pounds in 1 month. Now, that sounds really good, I think most of us wish that we could lose 25 pounds in 1 month, but the great majority of us cannot. And if you can, it's probably in an unhealthy and unsustainable way anyway. So imagine giving yourself a goal of losing 25 pounds, which is whopping, in a month, and then you don't achieve it. And then you say, man, I only lost 4 pounds. Man, I couldn't achieve that goal. That goal's too big for me. Man, forget it. I'm going to stop trying. Well, is it the goal of losing the 25 pounds that really was the problem? Or is it the time frame that you gave yourself that's the problem? And is that the reason why you didn't achieve the goal? So again, us really understanding what our goals are, the time frame we're giving ourselves, and if it's realistic, are some of the things that really we have to think about to reduce the difficulties of achieving the goal. And the final question that I want you to ask yourself is, what are you doing to make sure that you are in a position to act when an opportunity arises? Each and every single one of us, we've missed out on something that we've wanted, right? I'm sure every single one of us have missed out on an opportunity. And there's a lot of reasons why this can happen, but a lot of times the reason why it happens is because we're really content with where we are instead of being dialed in with what we want. And when we do that, we kind of close ourselves off from doing the things that we need to do to constantly move toward what we deserve. So I want, you know, each one of us to look in the mirror, look in the rearview mirror, and think about, what are those opportunities that you've missed? Be honest with yourself. What are some of those opportunities that you've missed? And what can you learn from what you missed? Why did you miss them? Are there things that you can do differently so that if that same thing arises again, you could take advantage of it? I want you to let every opportunity pass be a teachable moment for you. Because if you let it pass one time, you learn from it, you move on. If you let it pass a second time, it may be something that will be elusive and out of reach forever. So go ahead and identify the moment you'd like to have back and imagine what it takes to achieve or to put yourself in the position to achieve the goal and take advantage of it. Because I promise you that that opportunity may just arise again. It may arise really soon this year, the next couple of months, the next several months, and you'll be in a better position to take advantage of that opportunity. So success is something that we all can achieve, but there are some deliberate steps that we need to take to make sure that we're in a position, that we're prepared, that we have the information we need, that we've asked ourselves the right questions. And in doing all of these things, our goals can certainly be achieved. They're definitely achievable, and you will be one step closer toward achieving success. So that's all we have on that topic. But I'm really, really excited about this particular segment of today's podcast. We actually received our first question. The first question that one of the listeners, they actually emailed me and asked me this. So this is our very first question of the day. Yay! I received the letter. And this is a really exciting question. So let's go ahead and read this letter. It says, Don, I need your help with the situation. I have a colleague that's nice and professional in some ways, but also nasty and disrespectful in others. Basically, at my new job, I am relatively new and still learning. And I have a colleague, and we'll call him Mr. X, who's tenured and he's very skilled in the position. The good news is he's very helpful and he's a really hard worker and I like him. But the not so good news is he digs in his butt and his nose a lot. And this is really disgusting to watch. And it's even more disgusting because he has come in my workspace and touched my computer right after digging in his butt. And the other time I caught him digging in his nose and his butt right in front of me as we were talking. as if this behavior was normal. And as a woman, I find this totally disrespectful, and I wanted to stop. What do you think? Well, first, this situation is not an ideal situation. It's really sticky, literally and figuratively. Get it? Sticky because of the boogers? Ha ha ha. What up? Seriously, you have a few options here. Well, first and foremost, I want to kind of acknowledge one of the statements you made in your letter. You said, as a woman. And I definitely understand, obviously, that you are a woman. But I don't think that this situation has anything with you being a woman at all. Your concerns are valid and they're real. And these concerns would exist even if you were a man, you know, a more tenured professional or, you know, a brand new professional as you are. So this is less to do about you being a woman, but more to do about this person operating in a way that you perceive to be inappropriate for the workplace. And quite frankly, I think that you are correct. So you have a couple of options to deal with this situation. You could, of course, confront this person directly and tell them exactly how you feel about their behavior. You could also provide them with some suggestions as to how to be better respectful, but there might be some risks with this approach that I just outlined. One, they may feel humiliated or even attacked. And in some cases, when people feel humiliated and attacked, you know what they do? They attack back and they get mad. And sometimes in all of this, the situation can be escalated, which can result in the work environment being even more strained and the relationship being compromised more than what it is. And this is obviously not something that you want, because after all, you mentioned that you like him and he's a really good asset for you. So that's something that you want to be considerate about as you're thinking about how to handle this type of situation. But on the other end, though, it could go differently. He could actually be receptive of what you're saying. He could respect your opinion and be willing to make adjustments. Now, if you decide to take the approach of confronting this person directly, there are a few things that I think you should consider. First, you should plan what you're going to say in advance. This could help you be succinct, exact, while also being empathetic and professional. This is a sensitive topic, so the better you can package your concern to be concise and appropriate, the better there's a chance this person will receive your message in the spirit that you intend for them to get it. You definitely want to make sure you pick the right time and the right place. For example, you want to make sure that he or she is not busy and possibly distracted with work, but you also want to make sure that you speak with him or in a private space where it's only you and them alone. You don't want people to hear the conversation. You don't want an audience because this could embarrass them and make them be less likely to hear what you're trying to say because they're embarrassed by what's being said and what it could mean if others could hear it. You also want to let them know in your conversation with them that you actually value your relationship and that you're just looking for there to be a small modification in their behavior. That way, they understand that while you have a concern with the behavior, you don't have a concern with them. This isn't about them, the person, it's about the behavior. So we wanna separate the situation with the person because they're not necessarily one and the same. And when you focus on what's happening versus the person, you oftentimes find yourself much more successful. Now, you do have another option, I believe, and that's to go to the supervisor and ask for advice on the situation. The supervisor may actually have some additional insight on the matter. Now, one thing that the supervisor could do is during the next team meeting, they could go over office etiquette and even include the specifics of your concern. And by doing this, the person or the persons listening, you can learn about how their behavior may be unacceptable and unprofessional, but at the same time, they wouldn't feel called out because the boss is speaking to the entire group, not one individual person. So those are the two options that I recommend you consider. Of course, I recommend you thinking about the pros and cons that I outlined, and as well as others that maybe I didn't. So thank you so much for that wonderful question. I really appreciate the chance to think about it. And I'm also excited at the future questions to come. So if you have a question in your that is related to, you know, your workplace, professionally, leadership, something that you're going through, please feel free to email me at gatewooddon@gmail.com. I love to hear your questions, and I love to provide some suggestions if you'd allow me to. And I also would love for you to take the time to rate this show, however you listen to your podcast. Please be sure to rate and write a comment. You know, if you have any thoughts, share them with me. Any things that you like to see me do different or better, or any topics, by all means, I love it. Keep it coming, because the more we collaborate and partner, the more I'll be able to give you the information that you need to grow and develop professionally. And that's what it's all about. That's why I'm here. I'm here for no other reason. So that's all I have for you all today. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.